Good evening. The regular meeting of the Fairbanks City Council is called to order. It's February 9th, 2026. Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Theria?
Here.
Mr. Cleworth?
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Here.
Mr. Ringstad?
Here.
Mr. Marnie?
I'm here.
Ms. Tidwell was on Zoom a moment ago. We will let you know when she returns. Mayor O'Neill?
Here. Thank you. Ms. Therian, would you lead the land acknowledgement?
Of course. Thank you. We respectfully acknowledge the Dene people upon whose traditional lands we reside. We honor the Dene who have been the stewards of interior lands and waters for centuries, the elders who lived here before, the Dene people of today and future generations to come. We also recognize that Alaska Native people would traditionally gather here and harvest Native foods. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Therian. Madam Clerk, will you read the invocation, please?
As we begin a week that often sees an abundance of hearts and similar imagery, let us reflect on the love we hold for our community and the devotion we carry in our roles as public servants. May we channel this season of connection and kindness by ensuring our hearts and discussions are filled with a spirit of trust and respect for each other and for the citizens of Fairbanks. Amen.
Mr. Marnie, will you please lead us in the flag salutation?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item on our list is ceremonial matters. There are none scheduled for this evening, so we'll go into citizens' comments. Oral communications to the City Council on items pertaining to city business that are not up for public hearing. The total comment period is up to 1 hour, and testimony is limited to 3 minutes. Any person wishing to speak needs to sign up on the list located in the hallway or must have signed up in advance using the procedures for providing online testimony found at the city's website. Respectful standards of decorum and courtesy should be observed by all speakers. Remarks should be directed to the City Council as a body rather than to any particular council member or members of the staff. In consideration of others, please silence all cell phones and electronic devices. The first name on the list is Mr. Wright with Explore Fairbanks.
And let the record show Ms. Tidwell is online.
Mayor O'Neill and council members, my name is Bill Wright, and I reside at Farmers Loop Road, but I'm here today in my role as Director of Tourism and Meeting Sales for Explore Fairbanks, and I want to thank you for this opportunity to provide this update. With 2025 in our rearview mirror, I can confidently say that our tourism and meeting sales team has been hard at work selling our remarkable destination. Last year, we successfully hosted 24 familiarization tours and site visits. These tours included more than 100 domestic and international travel trade participants and are essential to helping travel professionals and meeting planners experience firsthand what makes Fairbanks a must-visit destination. On the outside sales front, last quarter, our strategies included participation at the National Tour Association's Travel Exchange, Railbooker's annual global convention, and the United States Tour Operator Association's annual convention and marketplace. These domestic conferences yielded more than 50 one-on-one meetings with key tour operators and travel advisors, plus destination training, totaling over 200 travel agents. And this expands Fairbanks' visibility and strengthens our presence in the U.S. markets. Due to heightened demand from Latin American markets, we created printed destination brochures in Spanish and Portuguese languages, as well as translated our successful online agent training modules into those languages. And as usual, we're closely monitoring key performance indicators. Year-end hotel and motel occupancy rates finished at 64%. That's a 4% decrease from 2024. However, the average daily rate of $207 was up 2.4% year over year. Fairbanks International Airport reported 1,111,000 total passengers in 2025 versus 1,112,000 in 2024, a slight year-over-year decrease of less than 1%. That concludes my report. On behalf of Explore Fairbanks, thank you for your continued support and partnership in promoting our exceptional destination.
Thank you for your testimony. Ms. Sprinkle?
Hey, Bill, thanks. I think I remember a bit of the report that Scott brought us that was talking about expanding or trying to attract folks from India. Are you seeing any movement on that needle?
Oh, yes, we've definitely seen more visitors from the Indian continent as well as those that are living or going to school in the United States visiting. Yes, absolutely. And I will be going back to India again this year, beginning in March with ATIA, the state association. I'll be going with Northern Alaska Tour Company, Alaska Railroad, the state, and Explore Fairbanks. We'll all be doing a one-week sales mission in Mumbai, Kolkata, and Chennai.
Ms. Therrien?
Bill, I just wanted to thank Explore Fairbanks and the Morris Thompson Center for the great presentation they had for the Yukon Quest. It was so much fun to watch the dogs and the racers come out, and it was really crowded, which was great.
Yes, yes, it was great. It felt like old times.
All right, thanks for your testimony. Thanks for being
here.
You're
welcome. Good night.
Next on my list is Brian Beal. Evening, Mr. Beal. You state your name for the record and spell your last name.
Brian Beal, Bravo Echo Alpha Lima. Beal, B-E-A-L. I got caught off guard last meeting, you know, because I had wasn't prepared for the position I was prepared for tonight. So, but I want to thank you for your consideration. I want to thank all of you guys, boys and girls, for your governance, the difficulties that you have to go through, to include the, especially the city clerk and the attorney, to go ahead and weigh in on all the things that you have to move forward as a body, and you have to come to these tough decisions in the benefit of us folks here in the village. So first and foremost, thank you guys for that. I do have a concern. There is some bad news, though. Boredom. There is a cure for boredom. It's curiosity. Now, I want to get into a position I have. I know it doesn't have anything to do with you guys, but it's a matter of public record now. We have fast planning, these traffic signals. I'm out on the streets in the dark of night and in the light of day and on the buses and bicycling. And we have a yellow flashing left turn signal, okay, that doesn't correspond with the walk sign. Meaning the walk sign is giving you a go ahead and do it. And this is for children, and this is Pegerton Airport. Just think of Pegerton Airport Road, very busy intersection, Pioneer Park. Kids are crossing that thing. I'm crossing that thing. I have an absolute position to walk, and that signal light will go from red to yellow, flashing, and that tells me driving down the road, hurry up, I got it going on. You're catching people, to include myself, in the middle of that intersection going, this ain't right. And since I'm going to put it as a matter of record, it's a simple solution. The walk sign should be the first and foremost consideration. Once that time's out, the red arrow should go to yellow flashing. Okay. Whew. Thank God I got that out. I'll be going to the Borough Assembly meeting and making a matter of record there. Then we'll move forward to the state. If there's any questions on that topic, please feel free. Now, the good news is there's no cure for curiosity. And I want to do a shout-out to Frank Turney, because without him and in God's grace, I don't think I'd be here in front of you expressing my thoughts and ideas today. Peace be with you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Beal?
Margarita Bell?
No questions.
Ready?
Thank you, Mr. Beal. You're ready to, yep, you can.
Super, and I mean it. Thank you, guys.
All
right.
Especially
you, Mr. Attorney. All you counselors and the mayor.
Next, James Cloud.
Thanks for having the meeting tonight. I apologize. Not totally ready for all this. I just kind of got thrown into it.
Before you start, could you state your name for the record
yes.
and spell your last name and provide your
Yeah, my name is James Cloud, last name Cloud, C-L-O-U-D. Anyways, I'm here with my crew tonight, part of my crew, not the whole crew's here. We work at the Spur, and we're just here because we have a job, and we're concerned about our jobs, and we'd like to keep our job. So I just recently came back to work at the Spur. They asked me to come back and step up a little bit to try to help them out. Security slacked a little bit. Now we're trying to get back on top of the game. Just want to let you all know that. We're doing the best we can. That's all I got.
Any questions? Let's start. Mr. Marty.
No question, but I want to thank you. I think your liquor license is up for renewal tonight.
Yes, sir.
So that's great that you showed up and we put a face to a name. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next on my list is Brandon Bender. And Mr. Bender, if you're here to speak about the beverage license, we're going to hold off until we have that on the agenda next, okay. And then we'll call you back up.
Awesome.
Okay, thanks for that. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to provide testimony this evening? All right, we'll close testimony. Has anyone sent anything? Okay. Item 7, approval of agenda and consent agenda.
Consent agenda items are indicated by asterisks. Consent agenda items are considered together unless a council member requests that the item be returned to the general agenda. Ordinances on the approved consent agenda are automatically advanced to the next regular meeting for second reading and public hearing. All other items on the approved consent agenda are passed as final.
Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Mr. Cleworth, is there a second? Ms. Therrien. Does any member wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Mr. Cleworth.
Thank you, Mayor. Under new business 14B, resolution 5201.
Mr. Ringstead.
Under new business item D, the budget amendments.
Is there any objection to approving the agenda as amended? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Clerk, please read the items approved or advanced on consent into the record.
The consent agenda approved the regular meeting minutes of January 26, 2026. It also approved resolution, sorry about that. It also approved resolution number 5200, a resolution urging the state legislature to reject proposals for a statewide sales tax, sponsored by council members Cleworth and Therrien. It approved resolution number 5202, a resolution authorizing the City of Fairbanks to apply for funds from the United States Department of Transportation for the FFY 2026 Better Utilizing Investments to Leverage Development or Build Grant Program for Island Home Subdivision Reconstruction, introduced by Mayor O'Neill. It also accepted the Permanent Fund Review Board meeting minutes of October 29, 2025, the Discretionary Fund Committee meeting minutes of November 12th and December 2nd, 2025, and December 3rd, 2025, and the Clay Street Cemetery Commission meeting minutes of January 7th, 2026. We are returning to the general agenda at special orders. The Fairbanks City Council will hear interested citizens concerned with the following alcohol license applications for renewal. Public testimony will be taken and limited to 3 minutes. This is for license number 4232, the Spur, license number 3969, Tony's Sports Bar, license 703, Gavora's Fine Wine, and license 1134, Thrifty Liquors.
Is there any citizen wishing to speak on these alcohol license renewal applications? This would be the time for Mr. Brendan to come back up. You state your name and your area of residence. You'll have 3 minutes to speak.
My name is Brandon Bender, B-E-N-D-E-R. I am a current employee of the Spur. I have worked there on and off for many years, even when it before it became the Spur. It has been an icon. The people I work with are very, very good people. The people we try to serve the community. You know, we help out wherever we can and assist. And I just wanted to state how great this they've always been and always treated people and how they have always been professional. They're great people. They treat us like a family. We try to work with the community as much as possible, especially, you know, anything we can do to help. We also, we work on donations and things like that all the time. And like I said, they're just great people. And I thank you all for allowing us to come here and state how great they are and how great you are. So thank you.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Brandon, hi. Thanks. Do you think in the last year or two that it's been a relatively quiet space? Because I feel like it has been.
Yes, ma'am, it has.
And I wonder what has been done that makes that so. What has anything changed in your way of security or management or what's going on there?
We've always been, you know, really good with the community, especially when they're in the bar. We're always, you know, if it's cold outside, we attempt to make sure they have rides home, things like that. We've stepped up that game and helping out, you know, in that field. And like the sad bands, things like that coming in and helping us. It's so much help. You know, make sure people get home safely and securely.
It's morning.
How many employees does the Spur?
I know right now we are, I'm not sure in the exact amount of employees this
would
current
guess,
moment.
Would you be able to guess?
Huh?
Would you be able to guess?
About 20.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Ringstead?
Maybe I missed this. We've got two of these licenses, one for the Spur and one for the sports bar. Do you work with both of them?
Yes, sir.
Any other questions? Mr. Bender? Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak on any of these liquor licenses this evening? Come on up. You can state your name for the record, spell your last name, and provide an area of residence.
Nicholas Nyquist, N-Y-Q-U-I-S-T, Fairbanks. And I'm the building owner. They're my tenants. They've always been good with paying, updating the building, repairs, and issues that arise as far as cameras, security, a lot of maintenance, upkeep. And that would be my main concern is just because the building is a constant upkeep. It's an older building, property taxes, just curb appeal. And then we have the big DOT project coming up. So I would just like to speak on the behalf of their really fine tenants. They always pay their rent, and I'm grateful to have them.
Thank you. Mr. Cleworth.
Yeah, thank you for coming up. Did you buy the building from your father, or did he own it at one time?
Yes, it's still in a trust. I operate the trust and pay out the trustees. But it was inherited, yes.
Okay. How much of the parking lot is DOT going to take from you?
Right now, they're looking at 14 parking spots. So kind of on the intersection of Cushman and Airport there, I've been working with them to, you know, come up with a good conclusion, paving stuff, so that we still have snow access to put our snow there. And they're across the road going to put a new, like, cul-de-sac to comply with the occupancy and keep our 14 spots is what I know. Right now, it's in the appraiser's hands. But it's been a back and forth, to say the least.
Thank you, Mr. Nisbet.
Thank you.
Ms. Sprinkle, this is on the beverage dispensary. It's just.
I'm just the tenant. I'm sorry, I'm the landlord.
This is on the license for the beverage dispensary. You have a question, Mr. Barney?
Once again, I thank you. I mean, this is outstanding. What this council's been wanting this from different liquor dispensaries and bars and stuff for 3 years at least. So thank you for showing and testifying.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on any of these four liquor licenses? Come on up.
I'm Ben Cook from Market Basket. I'd like to talk about the other two that are on the agenda. So Thrifty Liquor, we're very excited about that this year. We are in the final stages of hiring a contractor to, we're going to do a complete rebuild on that site. And so that old building is going to get torn down and a current or more modern gas station convenience store is going to be in its place. It's a model a lot like Hot Springs Gas. And so our offering is going to shift away from, you know, just liquor being our business. Our entire business model is transitioning away from that into high selection grocery and convenience. And sure, alcohol is part of it still, but it's a much less important part of our business. With the addition of fuel, hot service or hot food, deli offerings, and high selection grocery.
Any questions, Ms. Sprinkle?
How are you designed to let people come in? Is it going to be only from the airport side or the Cushman side?
Cushman side.
Just Cushman. Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mr. Ringstead?
Yeah, excuse my ignorance here, but the restaurant that was behind you there, going down Cushman, down Cushman, it's now vacant. You guys have that? Is that part of the property you're reworking?
Yes,
we did. So you have that space behind you, that building goes too.
Yes, it's already down.
Yeah, that's what I thought, that must be part of what you're doing.
Yep. Okay. And so DOT is going to take a portion of that lot.
But you've got room to park and do whatever behind you.
Exactly.
Traffic in and out.
Yep.
Good.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Sorry, Ben. Has it ever been in your business plan to have any kind of security, personal security on that site? Because it is often something that we see a problem.
Yes. The first part of that is we're introducing a new technology called Patron Scan, which is a system that makes you scan an ID in order to get into the alcohol side. The age-restricted side. And so what it does, it cuts down on fake IDs and fraud and age verification, nuisance customers, kind of all of that. And we're the first company in the market to do that. They do it in the States and in Anchorage, and we're trying it out with that location and probably extending it to all of our other locations. Because as you come into the building, the whole thing's not age-restricted. The way Thrifty is now, the complete store is restricted. And so you'll be able to come in and access the grocery side and the deli and the ice cream and everything like that. But if you want to go to age restricted, it's going to scan ID. So we can keep track of that. And, you know, if there's trouble or, you know, just disallows people to come in that are trouble.
Mr. Marnie?
So the existing building is getting torn down?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Cleworth?
Do you own the old drop-in cafe also?
Yes.
I think this is relevant to the beverage license.
Is that where you're going to be moving?
To the drop-in?
Yeah.
This isn't relevant to the issue.
Okay.
Well, Mayor, I'd ask for some latitude. It's the only time we get to talk to the owners, and we've had problems with that property before. In fact, one time the council turned down that license.
That's not fair to the public if we state something on the agenda and then we talk about something else. So if you'd like to do that, we can always put that on the agenda for another time.
As far as approval goes, it's important to us to know where it's going to be and what it's going to be doing. We've had lots of problems on Stacia Street right behind it that you're not aware of.
Oh, I am aware of those things. Is that relevant to the business license? To the liquor
to
license?
To me, it's very relevant, yeah. Very
much. I'll allow it briefly, please.
Okay. We don't own the liquor license that was attached to the drop-in lounge. That building is gone. And I guess we own the property, and the remaining portion that Thrifty is sitting on now and where the drop-in was is going to be a combined lot for the one store.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your testimony.
I have a question.
Oh, Ms. Tidwell.
I was just wondering when construction on the new building was planned for.
Hopefully May. Yeah.
Awesome. And it'll be done like this summer also?
Yes, I'd like to be in business by the end of the year.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Great, thanks.
Does anybody else want to provide testimony on these liquor licenses? Anybody online? Okay. Is there a motion to waive protest on the alcohol license renewal applications? Ms. Therrien, seconded by Ms. Sprinkle. Council, is there discussion? Ms. Sprinkle.
I appreciate that everybody came to talk about these things. It really is, Mr. Marnie said, that is really helpful for us. I appreciate it, all of you. And to hear from all of these folks to say that they are paying attention to the security and the safety of these properties brings me joy, because I feel like that's first and foremost. And I love, Ben, what you've just shared with us, that security devices. It's amazing. So I'm thrilled to say yes to this. Thank you.
Clerk, please call the roll and the motion to waive protest on the alcohol licenses.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Motion to waive protest passes by a vote of 6 yeas and 0 nays. Okay, so next on the agenda is a report from Fairbanks Alaska Native Organizations. This happens every other month. This may be a good opportunity to clarify to the council the expected start date, process, and when the new agenda item will occur in the future. Do you have an update on that, Ms. Snyder?
I communicated with Shannon in the mayor's office about sending out an initial invite to the groups and then letting kind of it be organized maybe through the mayor's office after that, but I'm not sure if that's what direction the council wanted us to go. But my thought was to give them a little time to organize. Maybe we should start it at the first meeting in March. But again, that's just the clerk kind of thinking without the council's direction.
Council, any direction? Ms. Sprinkle.
I think that's a great start. And if you need us to help you, let us know, or whoever that, would it be Shannon digging into this? Is that what I'm hearing our clerk say? Okay.
Maybe through the mayor's office.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Any opposition? Okay. Next, item 11, mayor's comments and report. We had our second Alaska Native roundtable today. It was a really great conversation again. The borough hosted it. There was a handful of folks from the city, the borough, FNA, Fairbanks Native Association, and Anakanaga. Mayor Tersh was there from North Pole as well. And I think everybody left with a really good feeling. You know, the first one was just kind of awkward. And then the second one is a little bit more familiar, and we're kind of figuring out what we want to do. And there was a good exchange of ideas of events to participate in and ways that we can support each other and collaborate in the future. So we are going to continue those meetings monthly, and we'll report out on the outcome of those. It's very positive. Yes, Ms. Therrien?
Is it possible that we could come to those, or at least know when they are so that we could possibly want to attend? I'd find them very interesting.
Yeah, I think, yes, there's a possibility. I don't want to have to make a public notice. And if you just give me some time for us all to kind of gel, I think that would be, that's our approach at this time. And then, Mr. Marnie?
As council, can we input questions into that, what we would like to hear? No?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, my door is always open for that conversation and any other organizations as well. I returned from Cambridge, from the Harvard Graduate School of Design Fellowship Program. It was a really great day and a half of emerging into different types of built environments, problem solving from municipal levels and leadership. And I that started our first week out of 11. And so I look forward to the next 11 weeks of learning more and reporting back to y'all how that's going. So we'll move on to item 12, council member comments. Are there any? Ms. Sprinkle.
Oh, sorry. I just wondered if anybody read the paper on Sunday, and it's discussion about almost 1 in 4 Alaska workers don't live in the state. And I just wanted to talk about that. It's not at this level here, but I just thought that's scary to me. And I don't know how we reverse that, but I wanted us to a pin in this because this is very concerning, and I think we need to turn this around, and maybe through the design of our cities would make a difference. But I just that really made me choke a little bit. So that's it. I'm just waving this around, saying concern.
Mr. Ringstead?
Okay. Yeah.
Mr. Marnie?
It didn't get pulled, but I would love to add my name as a sponsor on resolution number 5200, please.
So noted, Mr. Marnie. Ms. Sprinkle? Ms. Therrien? Okay.
That I just appreciated Jerry letting me add in quite a few paragraphs on resolution 5200, but most of the information that I did receive was sitting through those AML legislative meetings, and I think Nils is doing a really good job in identifying all of the problems with the governor's bill, and I think we outline them very well on our resolution, and it would be nice to have the full council support it. I don't know if Crystal wants to do that or not. Lonnie, did you get my email that there's testimony about the baby bill this week?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. So, and I'll do another report at the end of the meeting about our AML meeting and then our legislative meeting.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yeah, I did want to also put my name on there, and I was going to say the same thing as Valerie, which it's hard for me to hear everyone unless they're really talking to their microphone. I wasn't sure if everyone else added in on that, but I think that would be a really good show for us all to be on that one.
I'd like to add my name, too.
Is anyone missing? Is that everybody?
I've gotten nods from everyone, including the mayor, I believe.
All right, so noted. Next, we'll move on to unfinished business.
Ordinance number 6338. As amended, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code Section 2-86, setting council member compensation. This was sponsored by Mayor O'Neill and its second reading and public hearing.
Is there any citizen wishing to speak on ordinance number 6338 as amended? If so, please come forward and state your name and area of residence for the record, and you'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Is there anyone online?
No.
Okay. With that, we will close public testimony. Council, do I hear a motion to adopt ordinance number 6338 as amended? Ms. Sprinkle, seconded by Ms. Therrien. Discussion or amendments? Ms. Therrien.
Yes, I appreciate the council being willing to reduce this number to the 750. And I haven't heard any public comment lately. When we first introduced this, when the mayor first introduced this ordinance along with Ms. Tidwell's ordinance to change the mayor's salary, since that's been not being advanced, I think that this is a good ordinance. I hope that we'll adopt it, and I hope it will provide whatever incentive people have to want to get involved more in the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Cleworth.
Thank you, Mayor. This is about a 50% pay hike for us. My big problem is that we're voting it in on for ourselves. If it were for those who come after us, I would support it, I guess. I don't see the point in giving us a $250 pay increase. I just, like I said, and I said before, I have an ethical problem with ourselves voting ourselves pay increases. You can vote it for your successors, and that would be fine, but not for ourselves. And if it passes, I'll instruct payroll not to give it to me, because I don't think it's correct. Thank you.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Okay, so I appreciate what you're saying, Jerry, but if that was true, you'd have to wait 6 years, is that right, for the council to not be getting any pay raise?
No. You've got Mr. Marty terming out. Mr. Ringstad can only run one more time.
That's 2 years.
And you can only run one more time.
That's three. Or two more, maybe.
Oh, you're done.
Two
no,
and
you're
a half.
Done.
Oh, who knows?
Valerie's the only one that can run again. And she's not running, so there you go.
Anyway, that puts it quite out of, like, at least 5 years if she were to run again, is all I'm saying. I think the math says that's...
And Crystal's termed out also.
I'm just pointing that out. I think that's a real stretch to try to help somebody who won't get it for 5 years.
Mr. Ringstead?
And I don't have a real problem. I mean, we're supposed to be controlling the money, and we can make the decisions, and they can hold us responsible for it. But, I mean, I look at something like this, and according to what I'm seeing here, you know, we got to look at this every 18 or 20 years, you know. I mean, that's a long time without ever doing anything about it. I've been trying on any number of issues to say we need to look at it and discuss it more often than that. And I mean, percentage-wise, it's a big deal, and money-wise, it's not a big deal in my mind. You know, we burned through $445 million pretty fast around here. So I don't have a problem with it.
Mr. Varney.
Well, I agree with Jerry that, you know, I get upset when the National Congress and that votes themselves raises. Although this is a small raise, it doesn't take an effect till after I'm off council. But, you know, I know each one of you spend a lot of time that's not seen by the public here and in different departments. So the way I figured, it's instead of making about $2 an hour, we'll make about $5 an hour. So I've changed my vote. I'll vote yes for this.
Any further questions, discussion, or debate? All right, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Motion to adopt. Mr. Marney?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
No.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
With a motion of 5 yeas and 1 nay, the item passes the council. Moving to Item 14, new business. All items that are new business are on the consent agenda and will not be addressed unless the item is pulled off the consent agenda. If it is pulled, we'll read the title into the record. These aren't the notes. To say. I feel like President Trump right now, reading notes that are being passed to him out loud. Okay. Pardon me. Council, do I hear a motion to advance or adopt? I'm sorry. Just a second here. We're on 14B, resolution number 5201, a resolution inviting proposals from qualified developers interested in redeveloping city property at 123 Lacey Street, sponsored by Council Member Cleworth. Do I hear a motion to advance resolution number 5201? To adopt.
Move
Thank
to
you.
Adopt.
All right, there's a bit of motion to adopt by Mr. Cleworth, seconded by Ms. Sprinkle. Discussion. Ms. Therrien.
I'd like to be a co-sponsor, please.
Thank you. So noted.
Okay.
Mr. Cleworth.
The resolution is a start. Attached to this, I asked the city clerk to put Councilmember Sprinkle's draft along with the draft that we had been working on in work sessions. I did not refer to it in the resolution because I don't know which ones the council would promote or even if they want to get into it tonight. I would like to make it an attachment to the resolution. And if we do, then we'd have to bring one of those forward for discussion and it is an amendment to it. So before I would do that, I would just ask council if they want to do that here or at a work session in the future here and kind of iron out. I think we're really close to having a document to back this up. So,
Ms. Sprinkle.
Jerry, thank you very much for that. I appreciate you wrangling this draft into play. Only because we've just seen it tonight. I would love to see us spend some time maybe at a work session on this so that everybody has a chance to review it. But otherwise, I'm happy to see it here. Thank you.
Ms. Tidwell, I see you're off mute.
Yeah, and I apologize because I was not at the work session that we had this previous week, but is this the council saying that we want to go ahead and move this forward right now rather than take some time, which I had also heard some talk about as well?
She's just trying to clarify what we're doing. Does anybody have an explanation? Ms. Therrien?
Well, I'm just concerned that I know, Mayor, you wanted to have more public input, but it's been going on for so long that I thought we were going to have the request for proposals out by the end of March, if I think that was the right date, and to wait longer to have more public comment. I think we've had a lot of public comment and input. I'd like to see us get going and not wait any longer. If the mayor feels like she needs to have some more public hearings, I don't think we should take 2 or 3 months to do that. So I'd like to hear what the mayor has to say about if we could push that timeline up a little bit. But I think we need to get these proposals out on the street so we can get going. Nothing's going to happen this summer. I'd certainly like to see something get started by construction season next year. And I don't know if this is just taking more time when the issue's been in front of us for so long. And I was really pushing Mayor Pruse to get this going and have the council get involved in getting these RFPs out and reviewing them. And I know Mr. Cleworth feels the same way. And so I'd like to see us get this passed. And if we want to attach the RFPs, I think we should do that. Thank you.
Mr. Ringstead.
I agree that I want to move this thing up and keep it moving quickly. I think um, I I think the time, the place I'd rather have more time is for people that, to see the information and say, yeah, well, let me see if I can come up with a plan and get a good presentation for us and give them a little more time. I think we're close to what we want, but I'm not opposed to saying, okay, let's take a work session so we all have a chance to sit down, talk nuts and bolts and get all comfortable with it. And I think it's going to go quickly thereafter, so I'm not opposed to trying to do that. For the sake of a week, we can do it next week and be ready to vote on it the following week, in my mind.
Mr. Burney?
I agree with Mr. Cleworth and Mr. Ringsted. Briefing this a couple of times this weekend, the only thing I don't see, and maybe I blinked, but I don't see anything about trying to use our local labor pool. And I don't know if that's something we might be interested in. I sure didn't read it in there, so just food for thought.
Sure. So what happens now? We would say bring this to a work session next week. We have to give it a certain date for it and then push it forward into the next second reading. How does this play through?
If the council wants to bring it back at the next regular meeting, a motion to postpone the main motion would be in order. That would bring it back to the February 23rd meeting for council consideration. And in between, you would be able to work on it at the work session of February 16th or 17th, whatever that date is.
Okay. May I make that motion then, please? Postpone until the 23rd, you just said, and then we have a work meeting in between for further discussion on these two draft RFPs.
Is there a second? Mr. Ringsted for the second on the motion to postpone. Any comment? All right. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll?
Mr. Ringsted?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Motion of 6-0. The resolution 2052-01 is postponed to the next regular business meeting. Ms. Therrien?
Before we go on to the next matter, could I ask our attorney whether or not we can put in a local hire provision without violating anything, or if you could get us something between now and the next meeting?
Certainly, I can speak to it better at the next meeting. There's a interstate commerce clause considerations, but I think as the city, as a purchaser, there's some special rules around that, so I'll be prepared to speak at it next work session.
Next up, ordinance number 6340, an ordinance amending the 2026 operating and capital budgets for the first time, sponsored by Mayor O'Neill. Do I hear a motion to advance? Ms. Therrien, is there a second? Mr. Marnie, is there discussion? Ms. Sprinkle.
Is this the time we would take things out?
I believe so, yeah. You can amend it.
I would love to see the request for the page 6, number 2, and I would like to see the $100,000 of outside contracts to purchase software, taking that out. I think we've seen it before. It was a request that was made last November. We said no to it then. I think we say no to it now.
Okay. And could you repeat that again, Ms. Sprinkle?
Page 6, under other expenditures, number 2, information technology, second bullet, $100,000 is the request for an outside contract to purchase public works software. Although I'm sure that they want that, I don't know that we've decided to say no to it multiple times, and I would love to see it taken off.
Is there...
I'll second that.
right. Any further discussion? Ms. Therrien.
I think when the Public Works Director asks us specifically for this software, I think that we really need to look at that. I know I was the only one that supported this when we're having the budget, but now we've got over almost $2 million more in fund balance than we had based on the uncompleted audits. I just think that that the request is a reasonable request. It's going to save money in the long run, and I think we should keep it in. That's just my feeling. And I don't know if the Public Works Director is here to talk about it, but maybe Mr. Sanders can, if nothing else.
Anything to add, Mr. Sanders?
Not really. Jeremiah Cotter is in Costa Rica right now. So, no, this is something that the Public Works Fire Department and Police Department were all interested in. It wasn't my top pick for IT, but it is a valuable piece of software that I think could do some good stuff. But it's just several departments are interested in it.
Mr. Marnie.
I'm kind of confused. The last I heard, we had about $780,000 left. So now that's $2 million.
Ms. Bell?
On page 2, if you'll look at the bottom section, you'll see an increase and decrease column. You'll see that the unassigned from that was the surplus was $2,628,156. However, of that amount, $514,393 was encumbrances that you're carrying forward to the new year. $1,067,873 is capital fund interest. And then this budget ordinance is adding an additional, will take away, I should say, $365,462, which will leave you with $680,428 of that $2.6 million.
Any further questions, Mr. Marnie?
I'll let John proceed.
Mr. Ingstad?
And we still have a $3 million hit coming in October, right? That's not in here?
It is under the risk fund. You do have another payment in the risk fund.
Is there enough money in there? Is there enough money in the risk fund to do that?
The risk fund is reimbursed by property taxes. But, so it will be in the mill levy in June.
If we choose to put it in the mill levy, we didn't do it the last 2 years, right? Still have to decide whether or not we want to do that.
Last year, you moved 3.25
right.
From the capital, from the general fund into the risk fund.
Right.
This year, you're unable to do that because you will be below your code.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're down to 600,000, and we still got a big bill coming that we're going to have to raise property taxes to pay it, right?
It would be a part of the mill levy, yes.
Which is raising property taxes.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, on the motion to amend, Mr. Cleworth.
Thank you, Mayor. Going back to page 2 where Margarita was on. Lonnie, I think what you heard me say last time is if you see the 839,672 in the first column, that was the money we left on the table after we did our budget. Subtracting 365,462 leaves, if you keep going to the right, 474,210. That is what's left of the surplus for the $2.1 million we started with when we started that process. So, you know, my concern has been 1 month into the year, we spent a little less than half of our surplus. We've got, 11 months to go here on that. I don't know what will come up. I hope nothing. I talked to Margarita about it, and I said, is there a concern? And truthfully, she said she's hoping for some more revenue this year that may come in. And you might actually have a few more dollars to work with. And I understand what Public Works is asking for. This inventory program is for the three departments to better analyze maintenance needs and replacement on the equipment, and it makes sense. What I don't like about software programs is that there's an ongoing cost. You're going to pay that fee every year to use their proprietary information in this program. And I don't know how many of those we have in the city. Maybe Mike has an idea, but it's a big price tag at the end of the year, and this would be another one. I think I will vote for it, but as the year goes, we have some funds, we might revisit it at that time or keep it in mind for next year's budget and do it then. But we had other priorities in which we spent down that $2.1 million. So I would just take a wait-and-see attitude and see how the budget develops through the year and not do this in February, immediately a month after we adopted the budget, so to speak.
Ms. Sprinkle,
am I to understand that you're saying
keep it?
No.
Okay, just check.
I say we can revisit it later and we see how the budget works
Very
out.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Marnie?
And we still have a contract to settle this year too, correct? IBEW?
Those not for this year. They're both 2027.
Okay.
So the motion is
I have a comment.
Yeah, Ms. Tidwell.
If I could weigh in just on the IT line item that we're discussing, I also agree. I think that this was something that we specifically discussed and didn't put in the budget. And if we were going to add IT director, which was something that we really wanted, but didn't feel like we could. So also in favor of
I think we got about 50% of that.
Maybe. But,
sorry,
Ms. Tidwell, you're breaking up just a little bit. But I think what we heard was that you're not in favor of this to stay in the supplemental.
Correct.
Okay. Any further discussion? Madam Clerk, will you call the roll on the motion to amend?
Ms. Tidwell.
Yes.
I'm sorry, was that a yes? I'll come back. Ms. Therrien?
No.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
And Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Thank you.
With a vote of 5-1, the motion passes. Any other discussion? Mr. Cleworth?
I didn't pull this tonight. John did, but I was thinking I would take a better look at it between now and the next reading, but one thing I'd like to know more about is the $25,000 under the mayor's community promotions. Mike touched on that the other day, and I appreciate that. But maybe when we revisit this at the work session, we can get into that and not do it tonight. But yeah, that's a lot of money. I want to see what we get for a meeting.
Mr. Ringstead.
More of a general comment. It frustrates me a lot that we did a budget 6-8 weeks ago, and we're now already adding to it. It's like, okay, we passed a budget. Okay, here's the next one. Take another shot at it. I don't want to be coming back and coming back. It becomes time-consuming and, I think, a waste of our time to keep doing the same thing over on some of these. New stuff is a different issue. Obviously, we've got to balance our books. To me, that's what our first one should be. 6 weeks after we finish our budget, Margarita's got to balance the books, and we should do that. And it frustrates me that we're taking up new issues at all at this point.
Okay, any more comments or discussion on the motion to advance? Ms. Sprinkle?
I guess I'll wait to the work session if we're going to bring this back, or maybe next time. I'm still having heartburn over number 4,
in the Striker equipment, and I know that that's something that it was overlooked last year, that now this is a thing we're supposed to bring back. But again, it's one of those ongoing obligations, it sounds like, and it sounds like we either do it and get free service and parts if we say yes to it, or we could just say no and take our chances. Anyway, I'll ask our chief another time. And then number five, again, this is something we've said no to. We've already said no to this a couple times. So I'm having heartburn to see it here again. But I don't know where to be with this. I'll leave it to the rest of my council. But that just makes me sad to see it here again. So I'll leave it. Thank you.
Mr. Marnie?
I did have time to talk to Chief on number four and also number three. And we talked about number two, the knock boxes. So I think if we can afford it, that $42,000 is a long, good way to spend our money for maintenance. So, but we may not be able to afford it.
All right, Madam Clerk, on the motion to advance.
Ms. Tidwell? This is on the motion to advance. Could you clarify one more time?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
6-0, the motion to advance passes. So we are now on to second round of committee reports and council member comments. Mr. Marnie?
Well, I did have a meeting, actually two meetings, one Explorer Fairbanks, where they have decided to join in with the city on the outside appearance,
facade,
which is good. They also have done some new campaigns as far as Meals on Wheels and all kinds of different things that that organization has really changed towards, you know, focusing towards the city and the residents and not keeping the money to themselves. So I'm very proud of that.
Mr. Ringstead, Ms. Sprinkle.
I have had my first Economic Development Commission meeting, and it was brief, merely a way to introduce ourselves, say hi, who are you, what are we doing, hopes and dreams. So I look forward to that because I think we're a little bit noisy, which is kind of fun. First thing we want to do is take it out of the dais situation as a meeting and move it into the smaller, what's the name of that little room there?
Chismar.
Thank you. So that we can actually sit around a table and talk to each other. So I think that was a really great first start, and I think that's the mood we're going to have. So I think we're looking forward to that. Moving forward, we were all given a questionnaire as to what we see our role in that commission, what we can do to make it better, and I think that's really, really great. So I look forward to that. I have been doing the chamber meetings for board and government relations, and I will say that the chamber has really, really gotten excited about housing, which was something they weren't putting on their radar last year. So we've pushed it long enough. We've made them get real active. So, for example, the Fairbanks North Star Borough Housing Ordinance, they've taken that. They're running, and they're really pushing hard to make sure that we pay attention to things like short-term rentals and, you know, how are we going to house the people that come into town and keep the people we have. So I think it's a really good step that Chamber has taken. So that's it.
Ms. Therrien.
On the our legislative committee meeting that we had this Wednesday, Mr. Ringstead, Mr. Sanders, Brenda McFarland, and myself attended with Yuri talking about week three of the session. Spent a lot of time talking about the governor's plan for revenue, and you saw our resolution opposing that. There is an issue of the industry wanting to have the supplemental highway funds approved, and there hasn't been any fast-track supplementals in years. Not sure what's going to happen with that. The governor and DOT says it's really not needed to do it as a fast-tracked. The industry is very anxious and making sure that that money gets put into a supplemental. And so it's a question of the governor and DOT versus what the industry wants as far as being able to have that money secure so they can work on projects next year. So we'll see what the legislature does about that. As far as the budget goes, there's going to be a very small capital budget and maybe a $1,000 dividend. The budget is way under funded, and in order to take money from the CBR, they need to have 30 people in the House. It's probably not going to happen. Uri asked us that we upload our CAPSIS request, which Mr. Sanders sent off so that we could get that capital budget request. I believe it's for the equipment, and Uri doesn't think it's really going to happen, but, you know, we certainly can ask for that. The governor seems optimistic about the gas bill, and the state could become a 25% partner, but it's a big capital commitment, so we'll just see what's happening. Nobody knows about the property tax reduction necessary in order to pass the gas line project. I know the borough is going to be impacted. Right now, the governor has no proposal on how it's going to impact local government. So if we do away with our property taxes, does that hurt us? And there's only an acting revenue director and no deputy revenue director. So we don't know how it's going to impact the city if they try to not let us tax that part of the land. So that's something to be very concerned with. There's no room for an education increase. The retirement fund stuff is still in front of the legislature, and right now Bert Stedman's bill would get rid of the 22% cap, which is very serious for us. Let's see, as far as the internet tax effort, it was tied to education funding. That's why it was vetoed. So we're hoping that that might happen again. And there is a rural health transportation project. And so Brenda McFarland's going to look into that to try. It's new money that could provide for health services. So we're hoping that that will be submitted. There's also a bill, House Bill 210, which would increase disability benefits for police officers from 40 to 70%. The fund is overfunded. There's not that many police officers or that would be involved in it. So we're hoping that pass. We're hoping that it could also apply to police, fire, and EMS, and it might be a good recruitment tool if you could increase what the disability issue payment would be. Mr. Ringstad and I talked with Uri. It looks like we're going to go to Juno probably the day after Easter. We'll probably fly down April 6th, stay down there for the 7th and 8th, and then either fly home that night, Wednesday night, or fly home the 9th. If it looks like the legislature isn't going to show up till noon on Tuesday, John and I are wondering whether or not we should stay on Thursday. That means I couldn't meet my obligation to be in front of the borough assembly, so we might have to have somebody switch with me again. We'll just have to see what's going on. So that's kind of where we're at with that. And the state medical director is wanting us to get involved with a program and to help the community paramedic program increase. So that's hoping that that'll take place. And then Friday, John and I both went to the AML Legislative Committee meeting, and I'll let him talk a little bit about it, but I can only make about half of them, so John's been willing to sit on some of those. And the issue at the AML was mostly, again, the supplemental budget and the House finances and TERS and PERS and a lot of the property taxes bills. So, and John, you might mention it, but if any of us want to go down, AML has a home or an apartment or something that we can use to go stay there so it doesn't cost the council money for us to go. So I was kind of thinking of using my own miles and maybe going down for that conference anyways and not worrying about the per diem. So that's kind of where we're at.
Val, the one that you didn't mention that I think Lisa mentioned this from Soldotna, that this issue of our fees for getting our copies, all our copies work, Soldotna's working the same issue. They got the same problem. They're working it just like we are too. So we're going to try and get more than just us looking for that bill to hopefully come out and basically say the local governments can do what they want to charge fees rather than the state telling us what we can or can't charge. So anyway, we kind of got that on the table, and they said that they were already kind of where we are trying to go forward. So others.
Was going to have her clerk call you, Danny, about getting a copy of our sales tax resolution. I don't know if they've gotten in touch with you. Maybe after it's signed, we can make sure that that gets to them because they want to mimic it.
City of Soldotna?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Cooper.
Thank you, Mayor. In our packets, I don't know, you all got this Clay Street Cemetery brochure, but I remember not that many years ago when this was the most neglected piece of property the city had, and it is miraculously come to be a very beautiful, you know, property and well maintained and taken care of. And a lot of that is to the credit of the committee. I think it would be nice for us to have a resolution to thank the folks that give of the incredible time for the work that they do over there. It's headed by Aldine Kilborn, and if you want a workhorse, she's it. And a go-getter. So maybe I would, normally I write resolutions myself, but I'm wondering if this, I know the city clerk's office works with them, and they might be able to draft something knowing a little bit more about it than what we would know, and for us to get behind. I'd appreciate that. Second, regarding the RFP and the work session, I read both of them. There's a lot of duplicity there. I could work off either one. One of my main concerns with it is in both of them, they're talking about concessions the city will make. That is not something usually put in an RFP. That is something usually that the bidders will make upon us. It's a negotiating tool. And both of them have that in there, and I'll discuss that more when we get to the work session. I just think it's inappropriate to dangle carrots out there that we may or may not be inclined to do. I have a real problem with always giving, or not always, but giving up our building permits. Up until a year ago, we never, ever did that. It was the same game plan for everybody because that is a department in the city that is pretty much self-funded through their fees. And to put that into a contract, oh, we're just going to give them up, I have a problem with that. So that'll be a discussion point when we get to it at the time. And I'm hoping out of that we get a consensus that we can feel amongst all of us as to which way we want to go and what changes we want to make to it so that we can give clear instructions to the staff what we want to in front of us at the next meeting and make that then an attachment to the resolution. That's my dream. The follow-up on Valerie's comments here, we did get an email today from, I think, Yuri, regarding, I think, Stedman's bill to get rid of the 22% cap. As people know, we pay 22 cents on the dollar for all our PERS employees, the majority of that going to pay off legacy debt from the old DB program. And it is an extremely high rate. You could provide Social Security and a 401k to people and still have money on the table and give them a very good retirement. Or do something similar to what the police department did. There's a myriad of options to it. But what Stedman is doing is kind of ingenious in a way, because the AML email that they sent out said, we would encourage you to participate in public testimony and read the following to them. In the following, they said that we're concerned about the municipalities, and without having that cap on there, that it could impact all our taxpayers. They're absolutely right. It could impact all of us. Where were they when they were expressing concern about the DB program itself? So what they're essentially saying is, when they were testifying in favor of that, oh, that's a good thing. If the state wants to incur debt, go for it. But we don't want to share in it. And now they come out and go after this and say, we don't want you raising that 22 cents in the dollar. Well, this program is supposed to be self-funded. They know very well it's not, and they're trying to cover the bases in case it goes into the red, which it has a possibility to do. I just find it really ironic, AML's position on that. And that's one of my heartburns with AML over the years. But anyway, enough on that. Thank you, Mayor.
Ms. Tidwell?
I did actually think I have some notes from the FAST planning meeting, but they are not with me, so I will make sure that I bring that to the work session. I apologize.
Sprinkle.
If we're going to talk about an RFP regarding the Polaris site, is something to put on our radar the property we have on the river that we've just cleared? I don't know. We've talked about what we're doing with that. And then I wonder, too, about the property that we have at 2nd Street. What was the Front Street. Yes. It's property that we've done, cleared property from the trash and gotten the ownership of it. I don't know that it's being discussed as how to deal with it in the future. I mean, maybe we should have that conversation at a work session. It's time to let it go or do something with it.
Mr. Keyworth.
Yeah, can I follow up with that? Maybe a question from Mike. I think some of the utilities for the fountain and all that are in that building. Is there some mechanical stuff that's in that building that's a part of the park itself?
There's a lot of mechanical stuff that's in the basement of the Yukon Quest building. For the fountain, for our security cameras, there's quite a bit of infrastructure in the basement.
Okay. And after we were toying with it, and I said there was a possibility to sell it someday, I've never been comfortable with the city being in the landlord business. On that property, I remember all the stories over the years and the problems with rents and this and that and on the maintenance of the building. But it may be a situation where we're stuck with it. We have to have it for that. Although I think things could be sold with those conditions on it, but I don't know. I was just curious about that. That was my memory as well. So thank you, Mike.
You're welcome, sir.
Okay. City Clerk's report, item 17.
If you'll indulge me, can I get clarification from Ms. Sprinkle? Were you asking, so the log cabin, the 550 First Avenue is already on the next work session? It already is.
Okay.
As is the Polaris resolution. Did you also want to add the Front Street property as a discussion item on that work session agenda?
Well, if it doesn't have to happen this work session, I just think maybe if it's better to do it in the next work session. Those are two pieces of property in the Aurora area and Front Street that we have sat on. It's been a while, so maybe the following work session. I just think it's nothing that we should forget about.
Okay, thank you. Council, I will be not present at the next regular city council meeting. Deputy Clerk Colt Chase will be in my absence here. I will be there. I will be here for the next work session, though. As a reminder, we're closed on Monday for President's Day, and the Citizen Engagement Academy application period will close on February 15th. That's this coming Sunday. Happy to say, after the mayor's press release and the Newsminer article and a couple other media, we're almost full. We've got a couple spots left, so I'm hoping folks, if you're listening and you want to get a spot, now is the time to apply. And thank you for council members who have helped us out in the past and attended that first opening session. Mr. Marnie and Mr. Ringstad have volunteered this year, so thank you for that.
City Attorney's Report.
Got nothing for the council, just thank you for your service, as always.
Thanks. At this time, do I hear a motion to enter into executive session to provide guidance on IBEW, City of Fairbanks, labor negotiations, and discuss Chapman versus City of Fairbanks? Mr. Clewer, is there a second?
I so move we enter executive session to discuss the two items that you quoted there, Mayor.
Second. Seconded by Ms. Sprinkle. Any objection? Hearing none, we'll take a 5-minute recess and then we'll reconvene in executive session.
All right, we're back on the record.
City Council met in executive session, discussed two items, no formal action taken.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn? Any objection? Okay, we are adjourned.